All right, we're good. All right. Well, let's just assume that it started. So, what's on your mind, Alex?
Rain, mostly. Just kidding, Jews.
Yeah, they managed to sneak their way in. Basically, you can't unnotice them.
Just the the incredible. I look for stuff that I didn't expect. And like I've said, you know, if you have the Jew, you have the skeleton key to understanding all world history and the current news. But the one thing that surprised me in the was just the, I didn't know there was this pent up body of desire to switch sexes that they seem to have unleashed almost overnight after they got gay marriage approved. That truly surprised me. Queer marriage, pardon me. Queer fake marriage, queer simulation of marriage, but that amazed me that so many people are willing to go through with that garbage.
Well, I mean, I can definitely attest for this myself that, with the younger people, they really bombarded us extremely hard with the pro-gay propaganda, just in every corner of life you saw it, especially on TV. Like, you know, you watched Emmy Awards. Modern Family would win, like, you know, all of the awards because, you know, they had the, you know, the gay dads and everything.
Yeah, so do you mind saying how old you are or what generation?
I'd say I'm in my early 20s.
Okay, so yeah, so you're a lot more. Did you go to public school or did you?
Yeah, I went to public school.
Okay, so I went to public school in 70s and 80s, and you went, you know, Christ, not even 10 years ago.
Yeah.
So you have a lot more. So I'm trying to think. I don't remember them talking about in my time when I see we can give people sort of over 30, 40 years in my time, which was, I was born in 66, so I'm 52, almost 53, and my first memory is, you know, Philip Falk Elementary in Wisconsin. Where I was born before we moved when I was in fourth grade, they would show us films and they say, don't discriminate or don't hate Susie cause she's fat. Don't hate this. It was pretty mild stuff. It was just like, don't dislike these. I remember thinking, well, why would someone dislike someone just for no freaking reason? You know, it's like people are disliked for reasons, not for no reason. But, you know, it wasn't super huge of a push, but they definitely showed that kind of stuff. So now, what did you see when you were in school in relation specifically to fags, but more generally?
So, I mean, it wasn't pushed quite as hard among the teachers. I think they were still kind of cautious about it, although I've heard, like, nowadays they're going, like, all out with this stuff from people who are even younger than me. But they would kind of, I mean, by the time I was young, even like from what I've heard from friends that I had in private school who are the same age as me, was like MLK was still the patron saint at private schools. The Holocaust was still being pushed super hard in like even Catholic schools based on what I've heard. But yeah, it wasn't too gay heavy so much as they just emphasized really tolerating the other. And that was very implied, if you get what I'm saying.
Yeah. Well, you know, we see in Daily Mail every day these female public school teachers feasting on boys.
Oh yeah.
And it's just like
it happened in a town near me. Like it wasn't just like something I saw it on local news at one point. I'm not going to say what it is, but yeah, like it's people like most people, a lot of kids nowadays like can probably point maybe within a 15-20 mile radius of it happened in, you know, a school near me.
I used to, what do you think? They always show women doing that. And you're like, is that are men doing that and they're not reporting it? Or it seems to be like it's got to be some new social media caused phenomenon that's just gone nuts. WND, Suck Poop Joe's Rag, which I guess still exists. I haven't looked at it in years, but he was the first one I ever saw who compiled a list of like female teachers who are preying on kids. And There were hundreds of them, and now Daily Mail somehow picked that up at some point, and you see it almost every day, or at least a couple times a week. And it's just, and they're almost always they do female on male students.
Yes,
makes me wonder. I mean, I guess I know that's a little more newsworthy, but still, it's a pretty obviously going on to a large extent.
Yeah, I mean, when what stories could you pick out like 100 years ago where like this was going on? I don't think you can.
I think it's just so, you know, I often write just to, so people see, like, I was the last generation. I mean, I literally had like a typewriter when I went to college and before the internet, and graduated right before it became, you know, in 88. And then internet became really big in public about 95. So it was so different back then. You couldn't get any information about anything. So I really think that social media and whatever, and there it's sort of the free agency and personal relations results in what you see now. And I mean, it's that plus, you know, the insane legal context they've created makes it very, very difficult to establish, you know, something permanent, unless there's a lot of character on both sides of the man and the woman. But it, you know, I just can't believe that many. Yeah, I mean, that I understand, you know, if they propagandize for the homosexual stuff, and then people, okay, you can say I'm a queer, whatever, but to switch sexes, cut yourself and take drugs and endless. I mean, I didn't realize there was this pent up demand. I guess I'd like to classify it with, you know, ear discs and the rest of that stuff. And tattoos, and even back in my time, see, now this is like a generation before you. You won't even believe this, maybe, but tattoos used to be rare, right? And now they're the commonest thing in the world. They honestly were rare. I mean, like, nobody upper middle class would think of getting a tattoo. It was just like, that's for sailors and whores, and Maori tribesmen. And now they're pretty darn common. I mean, probably 40% or something, but unthinkable back then. So even in that limited time, that changed, and people just seem to go broader and broader in the stuff they're willing to do to achieve some kind of individual attention. I guess I don't know what else motivates it, but
yeah, I got this article pulled up here, Alex, from bbc.com. Because this was like the earliest case, one of the earliest cases I was able to track regarding like the tranny shit. So it's titled "Meet the 99-year-old Transgender World War II Veteran." It says a 99-year-old painter who fought in the Battle of Dunkirk during World War II is now one of the oldest transgender women in Britain. Louise Jennings, who lives in a rest home, was 26 years old when she fought in the conflict as Robert Jennings. The veteran underwent gender reassignment surgery to become a woman in her early 70s following the death of her wife in 1989. That's all it says here.
I mean, can you even imagine? You're that old. And you want to... I mean, I don't know how to account for something like that.
Well, how is this dude getting this in the 1970s is my question. Like, who was doing this stuff?
Yeah, they were... I'm trying to think. I don't recall stories about that stuff back then. They were doing, you know, open heart surgeries or heart transplants, or starting to think about it, or artificial hearts. I don't remember gender switching surgery. I think the only stuff I've seen is when you have a kid that's maybe born hermaphroditic or with some kind of dubious stature down there, they would, you know, maybe they'd make a decision and they'd operate on him, and then instead of just letting him grow up and see what happens. It's what I would do if it was my kid or something. I'd be like, well, you know, nature produces some freaks. I mean, who are we to judge? You know, but I don't know. I'd say, well, that's what we got. Let's let him grow up, and him, her, it grow up. And at some point, maybe, I don't know. I've never... luckily had to think about that much, but I wouldn't be at a rush to start clipping and snipping and trying to make it into, I mean, that just from a purely surgical point of view, is the number one thing to me is that, do you really want to be messing around with that stuff? Can't you just be happy with what you are? You start messing with that stuff, It's like these people who try to get, you know, penis enlargement, or they try to get, you know, more commonly like breast enlargement. There's a lot of medical problems associated with that stuff.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, some, I think these people are nuts.
Some billionaire Jew actually just died recently from a penis enlargement surgery that went wrong.
I think I recall, I don't recall the name, but I recall that story, you know, and then you got these fix-a-flat Mexicans down in, I guess they're kind of a good argument against home doctoring, but I still love those kind of stories, you know, trying to improve their shapeliness of their buttocks.
Oh, yes, yes.
But, that's hilarious. I mean,
see, they use thoughts like Nicki Minaj to really push this on the young people these days, and like Kim Kardashian and all that.
Yeah, they've pushed these intermediate forms between humans and I don't know what. Like,
well, they want to make us like mixed race bonobo monkeys, essentially. That's
yeah,
the goal.
I mean, I was trying to think of some monkeys with super prominent buttocks. I don't think too many monkeys do, because mostly they're very active. They're very active.
Yeah.
Swinging through the trees, you can't really keep much of a fat rump on you. You know, you've got to be pretty much all like long distance runners. You got to be pretty much lightweight and long limbs and very strong. Can't have a big fat rear. I don't even know if gorillas do, really. Yes, gorillas are pretty much bulky all over, though.
A lot of them kind of graze like a lot, don't they?
Gorillas? Yeah. I mean, they're not swinging through the trees. I think they probably can, but I don't think they do. I think they're more ground-based building. That's why I always say building nests.
Yeah.
Like leaves, build a nest. They're eating berries probably, or little green things, but yeah, so they started, you know, back in the day, they were never promoting like fat-butted broads like that, but that's been the case the last 10, 15 years. They really stepped that up. I don't watch any of that. I mean, I know the names, but, you know, to me, they just look kind of like bizarre mixes, and then they're all going with blacks. So
yeah.
What can you say? So when you were in school, they were really pushing the homo stuff hard.
In general, like in the media, yes, absolutely. Like everyone was like pro gay marriage. Like that was the thing. And if you weren't, like, it was kind of, you'd be viewed as kind of weird or
it's
mean.
Funny. Yeah, even just a few years ago, that was illegal. Even just a few years ago, I don't know if Obama did, but Hillary Clinton spoke against it.
Obama definitely did.
Yeah, okay. So
in 2007.
So the top liberals, even like 10, 11, 12 years ago, were speaking against it, and then it flipped, and now they're all, it's unthinkable not to support it now. And they try to bust any state that, you know, someone comes in and.
Well, what happened was I think around 2011, Obama was still officially against gay marriage, but then Joe Biden at some point had like a gaffe where he was just like, you know, gay marriage, who cares? Just, you know, everybody should just be happy. Like he said something to that equivalent. And then Obama after that basically used that as an excuse to just go out and say, oh, I support gay marriage now. And then that was just like that. It just completely changed.
Yeah. And what I guess they got it through the Supreme Court.
Yeah, you know, just like everything they do, Brown versus Boards of Education, or just anything else, if the people generally don't support it, they just use the judicial system that's been, you know, Jewish as can be since FDR was in office.
Yeah, point Buchanan always makes is the Congress doesn't want to make any decisions. They just want to raise money and run for re-election. So they kick everything to the courts. Courts decide it. And if, you know, like abortion, I mean, abortion was illegal everywhere, including New York and District of Columbia, and they set up a campaign and started lying about it and then got it passed through the court, and all of a sudden it's legal. And now if a state tries to go against it, even in, you know, practically right before they're born, like in Alabama, they start coming down on it, and now they got that, you know, that faggot-loving cartoon character.
Yeah, you know, I wanted to bring this up to E. Michael Jones, but he's blocked me on Twitter since, but it's like, you know, if Catholics are so great, you know, so powerful, this powerful force against Jewry, why did it take a majority Protestant state to finally, like, ban abortion? You know, you weren't able to muster up the Catholic Church to even ban abortion in Ireland. But these guys in the middle of, you know, in the southern part of America managed to do it.
Yeah. Well, it's funny. I mean, his stuff is good until you realize, because he knows so much more facts than almost anyone, you
Yeah.
tend to think that he's right. But when you dig into it, oh, this dude is just doing like Catholic ideology. And if you actually, like you're saying, that's a good example, what you just used. And he'll say, well, Protestantism is associated with revolution and that sexual liberation. You're like, well, okay, but those Anabaptists that you're talking about, and there were crazy examples in
Sure,
Leiden
yeah.
and other and Munster and other places, but it's
All
like, well,
sites, yeah.
it's like, well, where I live, there's loads and loads of Amish and Mennonite. Guess what they are? They're Anabaptist, and they're a hell of a lot more sexually regular than, your average Catholics are.
Oh, yeah.
And
Even
so
compared to
if,
white Catholics, they are.
yeah, I mean, that's what I'm saying. I'm saying, so if their principles and this is tied to revolution, how come they don't act like that? They're far more to the way Christians are supposed to act than most Catholics are. Catholics are just sort of middle of the pack. But yeah, that's so he's it would be good to have him debate an actual racialist, but he's received only the only guy who even ever sort of questioned him was that Michael Brown. I'm assuming you saw that.
Was Michael Brown that Judah converted to Christianity, supposedly?
Correct, yes.
I saw some of that. I was getting pretty annoyed on both sides, though. I couldn't watch the whole thing.
Oh, I mean, it was like, I mean, it honestly played like a spoof of Jones's idea that you can like, pour water on this, and this rat suddenly turns into a beagle. I mean, it just the guy was as dissembling, shifty, and just flat dishonest. I mean, it really was funny. He just he was so chutzpathic. He was insisting that no, you can't say Jews. You can't say Jews. Like, you can't refer to them as a collective. That's anti-Semitic right there, even though, we know anti-Semitic's a scam. So Jones, that part shouldn't even be debated. But he's basically saying you can't refer to Jews as a collective at all. Well, of course, you can praise them, but then
Yeah,
Jones
only
always,
in a positive light you
well,
can do
yeah,
that.
Jones can say, I can say the exact same thing as Jews who are praising other Jews for what they do, and they call me an anti-Semite. Well, yeah, they don't believe in a universal standard. They believe in a double standard and a dual code. And the problem with them is racial. It's not. And then Jones will say, well, oh no, these aren't those Jews. These are different Jews. And he'll claim that I made the point, and he actually responded to me on there. He's like, no, they, well, I said, Jones has single-handedly proved the inefficacy of a sacrament. You understand there's like seven sacraments, and they're from Jesus. So if you doubt them, it's like a mortal sin or something. And one of them is baptism. And I guess that leaves some mark on the soul, supposedly. And you're not allowed to, I said, that this proves, you can drip water on this guy, but he still acts like a Jew. It's a racial thing. Jones, well, no, it doesn't prove it. He's still got free will. So in the end, you're left with, okay, so you baptized him and he went through the sacrament, and it leaves some mark that just never shows up in his behavior. Or in theory, it could show up. But I thought Michael Brown really nailed him on that. And I said as much in that thread. I'm like, he basically brought him out. So Jews are, he didn't quite put it like this, which would have been the ultimate way, but he said something similar. It's like, so at every moment of the last 2,000 years, basically every Jew has been choosing to act in this evil, bad way. And that shows, that
Yeah.
highlights the absurd. It's a fucking racial trait. But Jones is an ideologue who refuses. It's not, he's exactly like the black guy in They Live, and it doesn't matter the guy's black, but he refuses to look through the glasses and see something more clearly than with his own eyes, And you got to beat him up to get him to put the glasses on and actually look at what's going on. I mean, because the simplest thing that explains what they're doing is this is a racial trait of these people. And they keep saying, well, there's all these, and the funny thing is he said, and I like this, and he said that Jared Taylor was like, who was a W.E.B. Du Bois that the Jews had as their figurehead of the NAACP. He said Jared Taylor's doing the same thing for white nationalism. But we could say, Paul, even though, well, that's the goyish version of Saul, is doing the same thing for Christianity. Because he's claiming that some Jews follow Jesus. Okay, I'm sure some did, but where are they now? Where's all these Semitic Christians? No, they're not. There's no body of Semitic Christians out there. I mean, it has to be a racial thing. You know, and he just doesn't care about any of that. He doesn't care about any of the data that shows they're genetically related, or the fact their behavior has always been the same, and it's been the same before Jesus, that they claim they're of the line of Abraham and that they're the ones who are lineage related. They're bragging about race, you know?
Oh, yeah.
But the main thing to me is, and parallel to that, he refused to see them the way they see them. And Brown also made a good point there. He's like, he defines them. This is Catholic ideology. It's not just Jones. It's all the problem here is a lot of probably the vast majority of Catholics don't even understand their own church's doctrines.
No, not at all.
I mean, they really don't. And so if you understand it, then you see like, oh, okay, that's why Michael Hoffman's the other big apologist, and Jones are both saying the same. They define Jews as rejectors of Jesus. But when Jones talks to the Christian Jew, Brown, what does Brown say? He basically says, no, that's not that big of a deal. And I suspect he's right about that without having, you know, read into all their stuff. You don't see them talking about that stuff a hell of a lot. And then I think, I mean, we're just working out here the ways of arguing with these people, you know, and someone made, I forget who made this point originally. It's the best point I've ever seen. It's like, look, do they classify the cross as a hate symbol? Because these idiots cannot make any distinction between what the Jews did to Nazi Germany, what they basically got others to do, and how they treat the Christian church. So I say, well, why don't they call the cross a hate symbol and make the church pay taxes? Those are two easy things they could do that would really, if they were really trying to destroy Christianity, it's like, no, they're not. They're not trying to destroy it. It's useful to them. It's great. And they're taking back kind of the one thing it ever had, which was sort of sexual control. And telling people to breed and have big families and have a stable relationship where basically the man was running it. Those are all good things. That's the good part of it. But I don't think that's unique or created by Christianity. And now they're trying to destroy that because they've infiltrated. If you listen to all these traditionalist Catholics like T.N. Turner and his buddy Tim Gordon, Taylor Marshall and Tim Gordon, TNT, or the Reformed queer Michael Voorhis, who Jones has gotten into it with, even though they're more or less pushing the same thing, and Michael Jones, who may be Opus Dei himself, they kind of have the same background. I think they're probably a little bit competitive with each other, him and Voorhis of Church Militant. They overtly say half the priests in America are queer, 25% active and 25% are inclined, and basically they're living off all this property that the church has built up, all their assets. So they're partying it up while the church is getting older, people are leaving, and the nuns are getting super old, and whatever priests there are, a bunch of queers. And now they basically got the Pope now. So he even used the word extinct for the church in America in 10 years, which is probably an overstatement. But
yeah, actually, a few weeks ago, I actually, just to check it out, I attended a Latin Mass. Because I figured you're going to get probably the most like staunch Catholics, the most lightest amount, at least percentage wise, in a congregation going to one of those.
Yeah, the most serious ones, like Taylor Marshall. He's got like 8 kids, and his buddy Tim has like 6 kids.
Yeah, but it was still like there were still a lot of old people and not as many young people as you'd think there would be. Like, even, like, the Latin masses have been hit hard by everything, it looks like, from what I've seen. And if that's how those are, you know, and I even saw some single mothers there as well, along with, how would I put this, an alarming amount of, I'd say, Latin Americans there as well. And if that's how it looks there, I imagine the mainstream Catholic churches are far worse.
Yeah, I don't know. I've never been to... I guess I've probably been to one mass, maybe. I don't know where. I've seen a lot of churches and missions out in California. My mom liked going to those, if you know what I mean, like San Juan Capistrano and that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
Spanish built out there, which are interesting architecturally and historically. But I don't know. I've been listening to all these people because it's such a pull to white people. But then you read all the comments and it's just so passive. It's the church is really messed up and half the priests are fags and they're the next person will write, we must pray to, you know, this, that, or the other. you know, paper saying, and you're like, and then 5,500,000 people all go, yes, yes, we must pray. And you're like, wow, is this what our race really begun like this? All these wimpy, passive people who then they really believe they're doing something. That's their little ritual and format that they just absolutely love. And it's disgusting. Even the guys who are leading this, who are making the videos they're responding to, are like, well, we're in for the decades. There's no way, because they're a hierarchy. There's nothing they can really do. You know, in theory, the laity's supposed to kind of stand up and tell these people to act right, but that's not much, you know?
Yeah, and I've noticed this disturbing, like, trend that's occurring where you probably saw some of this if you heard my appearance on that one horrible show, The Daily Brap, where it seems like there's a lot of younger people that are, for whatever reason, attempting to convert to Catholicism. My personal theory for a lot of this, and it could be wrong, is just I think a lot of these people like can't find girlfriends, and they're told online, like, go to church, you know, you'll see all these girls there. And it's actually not like that at all. I mean, you go to a random church nowadays, like, the average age for a woman's probably going to be like, you know, 76 or something.
Yeah. Like, which is older, the average pew female or the average Fox News watcher?
Yeah, it's basically the same demographic, honestly.
Yeah, well, yeah, you may be right about that. I don't know. I think it seems to me like grown white men who really like Catholicism, I think it's aesthetic as much as anything. I mean, you really get that strongly. Now, Taylor Marshall is an actual intellectual, a PhD, has written a bunch of books and has sort of study guides and all that. But a lot of them just really like, they like the minutiae of it. They like talking endlessly about, oh, putting that wafer on the tongue versus the hand. They like the vestments and talking about the clothes they wear and talking about the symbols they wear around their neck. And they're right about it. As far as they go, they're right about all that stuff. But to me, it's just, you get back to it and, well, what's it founded on?
Yeah.
It's founded on stuff that, I mean, if that's true, then why even try to study or think anything? I mean, if the world is just run by, it really is like there's no laws and they just, you know, I mean, that's the thing I would say to Jones if I was talking to him. I mean, you know, you're taking a Greek concept, logos, saying it's divine order, and then you're saying people come back from the dead or, you know, turn water into wine.
Or, and, you know, virgins get impregnated by God.
Yeah. That's a great example.
You know, like, and you know, you can ask a Christian that, like, would you believe that if your wife told you, you know, God impregnated me?
And they somehow are able to just, oh, I wrote, you know, they just toggle switch between, you know, okay, oh, well, no, God just like, well, all of a sudden there's this natural law and all this. And then, oh, then we switch and then a virgin can be impregnated. It sounds reasonable. And someone comes back from the dead and someone's walking on water and someone's bringing someone else back from the dead. And you can do even greater works than these. Didn't he say that? He did say that.
Yes, he did.
You know, I don't know that they ever did, but... I don't know. I live in the world of reality, and this is delusion. And I don't know how you unshamefacedly, to me, that's like Catholic chutzpah. Everything Catholic is like a reduced version of Jewish. They're not quite as personally obnoxious, but it's just as intellectually dishonest. You know, which are you? Is there a divine order and there's laws that are being followed? And it doesn't have to be divine. It could just be that we observe, like the law of gravity, we observe it always holds. This other law, it always holds, a compression of gases or whatever you want. I mean, what else? And then all of a sudden you say, oh, these things are different. Yeah. I don't know how you call that. There's some disconnect there. You can't call that logos. He is basically doing what Torb is doing. He's using logos as a slogan. And Torb is saying speak freely as a slogan, but the reality ain't there.
Oh man, Torba, I'm still pissed off at that dude. Were you also like kicked off right away when Robert Bauer shot up that place?
Yeah, I think you were telling me that you were kicked off. So had we interacted on Gab?
We definitely posted at each other sometime.
Yeah, I'm sure. And I know that, yeah, that's exactly what happened. So Bauer shot that. Torba shit himself and ran to the cops, probably multiple cops. And then he banned a number of people. I don't know how many, but I know I was one of them is all I know.
So yeah, like an hour after it happened, my account was just deleted.
Yeah. I don't know exactly when it happened, but it was right when that happened.
Well, let me ask you this, Alex. Did he ever like your repost your stuff?
Did Torba?
No, not Torba. Robert Bowers.
Oh, Bowers? I don't think so.
Okay, because I know he did. He liked and reposted a lot of my stuff, and I thought maybe that was what convinced Torba to do it.
No, he, as far as I know, I'm like, I don't think I ever, he looked such a classic National Alliance type. It was funny. But no, I don't think I ever had any interaction. Definitely that I recalled. I mean, he could have reposted something or whatever, but he was not one I ever remembered. So, yeah, you don't know how many people total that Torba banned at that point?
Well, I remember I was writing, I had a list somewhere. I don't know where it is. I wrote it down in like a notebook of like, I was just keeping track, but it was like, around like probably 20 or 30, and I just stopped counting. And he was like banning people that like really weren't doing anything after a while. Like, you know, he banned Vic Mackey a little bit a while after. He banned Nat Danelaw. I'm not sure if you've heard of him. He's like Danish. But just a lot of people who weren't even saying anything remotely that would, you know, violate the First Amendment were just getting banned like crazy. And then I remember they banned Patrick Little after a while too. And Torba made a big thing about that. Like he tried saying that Patrick was doxing people and things of that nature, but you know, provided no screenshots. He doesn't provide screenshots. He provides daily Bible verses basically.
Yeah, that's interesting. Vic Mackey, is he that sounds familiar somehow.
He's the main Bull Patrol guy, if you've ever heard them.
Now, I'm thinking of someone from like 15, 20 years ago almost.
I doubt that's him.
Yeah, no, that wouldn't be. That would be someone else. No, I mean, basically, I don't know. To me, I don't even consider Torba dishonest. I consider him a typical dope who doesn't think for 10 seconds about what words actually mean.
Oh, yeah, he had no idea what he was getting into.
I mean, free speech is at his level of mentation. I'm granting he must have some technical skills, I suppose. I'm certainly more than I do, so I'm not talking on that front. But these people, and I'm not theorizing, I've lived through this type of thing repeatedly. I never banned any accounts. I never took down any posts or anything, you know. Now, when people do overtly illegal stuff, like I had one time someone got on my forum, a cop's come to my door and they're like, hey, some dude was trying to smear some other dude and do something dishonest. So of course, like, yeah, I'll take that down. That's, I'm not letting someone, you know, pretend to be somebody else and start saying a bunch of bullshit. Yeah. But basically, you know, if some guy gets busted or whatever, if you have the right rules and you live by them, I mean, you shouldn't take it down for historical reasons, let alone any other reason. Bowers didn't break any rules.
No, he didn't. He rarely posted. He was mostly just tweeting or liking and retweeting.
Yeah, so why does Torba just shows himself to be a clown? Because you say this and then you act like this. Why do you do that? You have no need to do that. Look, whoever is prosecuting Bowers, if they need to come to you and get a subpoena that, oh, this dude from this IP posted here, then they can do that. But you don't need to bring anything to them. But yeah, he thinks he's being a good poodle, I guess. I don't know.
You ever like check out Gab like these days?
No, I couldn't log on there. I got banned off Twitter like four or five times. I said, fuck it. I got banned off Gab once. I said, fuck it. I'm not going back. I don't know. There's probably still a lot of good people on there because there were a lot of good people banned when I was, but I just don't give a fuck, really.
It's a graveyard now. It's like 90% like obvious bots and like, you know, GIDF trolls, like pro-Zionists just everywhere. Like there's like barely any of our guys anymore.
Well, that's what Torba wants then. That he okay. And see, back when you were just a young pup, when I first got into this, coming off a decade of trade journalism, more or less, the first place I went really online when I was getting into politics and I had some more time was Free Republic. Have you ever even heard of that?
The name sounds familiar, but I never went on that website.
This like a lot. Patriotard Phoebe, who's in a wheelchair named Jim Robinson or something, ran this Free Republic. And it was actually a really large, fun forum, but he was a fucking patriotard. And he would have published, he would have set rules, and he would only enforce them against like critics of Israel. So if you cited facts about Israel, he would ban you. I got banned off there 31 times.
And oh, wait a second. I think I'm looking at the website now. I think I've been on here back.
Yeah, I mean, I haven't even looked at that in over a decade, but it was a cool place. I loved it. I kept going back, but he would just absolutely complete and utter double standard. And so here we see 20 years later with Gab, it's the same flipping thing. So if free speech is a slogan, then you're going to end up with all the, you know, Israel first, Jewophile conservative morons. It's sad.
I mean, the only people that need free speech are like people like us. That's it.
Exactly. Because we don't need to suppress anybody because we just say, well, where we're free to compete with you and offer arguments, you'll lose. Because we represent normal white people. We're not extreme. They just redefine normal white people as far-right extremists. People, you breathe air and you're white, you're an extremist. You know, and so we're seeing exactly the same stuff we saw at the very start, or, you know, 5 years into mass public internet. And now they've basically taken its measure and they've seen, well, where these guys are allowed to dominate, they will dominate. So we better just basically shut the whole thing down. And that's what's happening. And now there's going to come a day when they have all these databases integrated. I mean, I think they already know this information behind the scenes, but they get it all completely integrated. And, you know, MasterCard, for example, looking at, well, we don't want to offer our services to people whose views we don't like. So that's the cutting edge in the U.S. I guess China's even farther ahead, but pretty soon, you know, that's the direction it's headed, it seems to be. So I don't know. It's just, in my lifetime, it's just gotten worse by degree, and it's speeded up the last few years, I guess I would say.
Well, I feel like you're qualified to answer this more than a lot more people, just given, you know, how much you've seen unravel before your lifetime. Are you of the opinion that you want to accelerate things and make things even worse and that eventually it's going to lead to a backlash? Or are you of the opinion that, you know, it's going to get worse, even if it got way worse, people are just not going to do anything because the white people have just been completely neutered?
I would say that I don't know that worse is worse from what we want, like a white sovereign state. I don't know what is better in terms of leading up to it. It could be either way. It could be worse is better, or it could be better is better. I mean, it just, you know, trends continue until they change and or someone changes them. Now, what could that change be? Who knows? You know, it could be someone like a Breivik or a Tarrant or whatever. So I'm not against that kind of stuff at all. Pretty much, I was the only one, at least at the start, and then some of these other guys thought about it and agreed. But I was like, yeah, I appreciate what Breivik did. And, you know, these people got to understand, this is not a joke. This is the one life we get, and these people want us to live as their slaves. So if all those words actually mean something, I mean, then fighting and killing the enemy is perfectly legitimate. I'm not saying anyone should do this or should do that. That depends on your one's circumstances and one's abilities, but it's certainly not off the table. And you know, these people keep saying keep it legal. Well, when the fuck is the government going to keep it legal? Never, man, never. They're never going to keep it legal.
Yeah, I mean, at the very least, why would anyone need to disavow these sorts of people, you know, like Tarrant and Bowers? Like, what does that get you?
Exactly. And it's ego, too. It's like, first of all, you don't control these other people. And, you know, these people think that they think they're so powerful. Even Jones, like, well, that's why Bowers shot up the synagogue, because the ADL prevented him from hearing my message. Like,
dude, yeah, if he heard me,
he heard the Bible. Cited Bible quotes, and this other dude out in San Diego also cited Bible quotes. So like most people, they were somewhat inconsistent. But my point is, they were aware of the biblical stuff, and they still thought the racial argument and the violence argument was stronger than his logos and reasoning, right?
Yeah.
So even in his own terms, he comes off second best in that. It's like, man, people are perfectly justified in saying, these are the enemy. They're trying to genocide us. I'm going to kill them. That's perfectly justified. And yeah, the FBI runs around and they don't like people saying that. Because they will all say, hey, you created the circumstances that is leading these people. If my talking about it is not the problem, you know?
Yeah, like, you know, when someone gets, there are some people with a certain mindset that if they get banned from 20 forums, like, they're going to go out and do something like that if they can't say their mind.
Well, I mean, what we have tried, this is what I can tell someone like of your generation. I can tell you, when you're born and grow up, you don't freaking know. Everyone is alive for the first time. So everything you go through almost is for the first time. And even when you're older, it's for the first time because you haven't been that old before, you know? And so you try to learn from others, but still, you know, it's just saying, well, it's okay, Trump said one thing, but then when he got elected, he did something else. Well, I can tell you that Reagan did the same freaking thing. The Bushes did the same thing. I mean, they just work the same scam over and over and over and over. And when is that going to change? I mean, people are trying to do this legally. So you say, okay, you can't be employed in mainstream media, but okay, I'll build up something on the internet. You know, you can't have any advertisers because we'll run around to them. And now it's not even an advertiser. Fuck that. It's doxing everybody you know and going after your relatives and et cetera. I mean, they want to get ultimately, obviously, repeat what they did in the Soviet Union and just kill anybody who doesn't agree with them. So I don't see any.
Yeah, and it's large. These people who lead this are largely the descendants of those people that did it, too, like Eastern European Jews.
Yes. And see, here's the true genius of the fake opposition conservatives is they've taken those lines from those old paleo Bolsheviks and they've drawn them. What am I trying to say? Today's left, instead of pointing out exactly what you said, instead of pointing that out, instead of emphasizing that, see, that's what I want to DC to do in the conservatism, because I was so naive. And I've said this on many shows, but imagine you were so naive, you didn't realize, like, you couldn't say that in professional conservatism. That's how naive someone like I was at 22. Like, to you, it's unthinkable. Because you have the internet. That's the change the internet has brought, that you can know all this stuff. I thought, well, I'll be different because I'm going to write satire and make fun of blacks and Jews and the people I see leading the left. Because, right, we're on the right and we're going to attack the left. No, that's not how it works. And I would have known that in a few hours if the internet existed. But I didn't know it. I truly thought I had something different and unusual. So my point is, the professional conservatives have done everything they could to obscure the linear connection, as you're saying, the blood and the mental line connection between the old communist and today's Jews on leading the left. And they actually call the people that they need to be saying, look, the Nazis fought these people. The Nazis have that in common with us. And the Soviet killers have this in common with today's left. It's the clearest thing in the world. They're a bunch of goddamn Jews leading it, you know, leading idiots. And we should be connecting. Nope. They've obscured that, and they all go around calling the Nazis leftists.
Oh yeah, they love that.
You wouldn't.
They're collectivists.
They could get away with that, but they have.
They're status collectivists, and thus no different from the Soviet Union. Libertarians will tell you that with a straight face.
Yeah, they think on the, and like the boomer type, you know, they think on the political, the superficial political level. It's like you got to educate them in so many things. And like I found the older generation, older than me, like the boomers, and then even the generation before the boomers, the Fox watchers, just almost unmovable. They can't accept that America could be the bad guy in any way.
No.
And they're still operating on this evil Chinese, hate China and communist China and all that stuff.
They're really focused on Russia, based if you talk to them now, from – at least people I've talked to.
I've talked to some. They don't like China either. Cannon's big thing.
Communists as well.
Yeah, I mean, you're like, I guess, how do you explain to people, like, oh, the U.S. is good. I'm like, well, what if one of these had bases in 168 countries around the world and was constantly making up lies? And I mean, is there at any point at which you'd look at yourself and say, what the hell are we doing? You know, no. I mean,
well, a lot of these people, they take pride in being the world police. Like, they embrace that role.
I have not met those people. I've just met that think the USA is good and they don't want to hear anything else. I mean, yeah, people who tell me the DOD doesn't waste money. I mean, it's insane. I don't know. You can't really counter, like, you know, that famous quote, but it's very hard to counter emotional sort of beliefs like that because they're not open to hearing logic on it. I can't stand looked at suspiciously when I make the most obvious logical connection in the world. You know, and they just, I mean, Limbaugh calling, you know, feminazis. That's successful propaganda rhetoric because they all use that. It's like the Nazis were feminists. And you can say, the Soviets brought in all that free love and all that garbage. That was all Jewish communist. But so we have to kind of straighten that out in people's mind. And you can do that for people who self-select on the internet. But I don't know. It's hard to see how anything's getting better. I was just talking to a guy in the UK. And I mean, it's the link's not up to that. But I mean, it's just unbelievable the stuff he was saying. I mean, about you can just nothing but a butter knife, and anyone who thinks you're like at all extreme, they just call the cops, and the cops will literally come to your door and start asking you questions. What do you think about democracy?
Oh, yeah, yeah. You big say fan? Something, say like, oh, I think Muslims should be properly integrated in the UK on Twitter or on your Facebook, and like they'll come at your door for like inciting like hate. You know, like hate speech and everything. For even mild, like pro UKIP sort of like shit, they'll do that for people.
I mean, it's absolutely. I'm just glad I don't live there. I'll put it that way.
Oh, dude, people like us would be arrested in 2 seconds over there.
Well, he said at least 3 times while we were talking. He's like, I couldn't say that. That's illegal to say. And I mean, if he said that almost every time I spoke, he could have said that it's illegal to say that in the UK. And we know these same forces want to make that the same way here. So,
well, and every other way, I mean, yeah, legally they can't prosecute you yet, but I mean, they just use every sort of private avenue to make your life a living hell.
Yeah. As the FBI agent said to me, it's called social justice, and he didn't seem to be against it. I'm like, dude, how long till we can't sign up to get water or electricity? Come on, man.
Yeah, but,
I mean, they, and you know, I talked to them to get a feel for where their heads were, because it's not advisable to talk to them, and no one should think it is. But I wanted to see if they were really like politically super knowledgeable or what. But
how did they come off? How did they sound?
They were more or less NEA teacher level.
Oh, like a high school teacher.
Yeah, pretty much.
Oh, well,
and they're,
yeah, I can see that.
Well, they're basically the basic take. What I got out of it was basically they're, you know, the guy's arguing with me with why there's, I'm like, well, why are you, you know, your government is bringing in Congolese here to my small Missouri town that's 90%+ white. No one voted for that. No one wants that, you know. Already the point is the claws of the federal bureaucracy are already long dipped into that one world ideology where it's just every hominid is equal to every other and nationality doesn't mean a damn thing. And they don't even understand that's a political position. They think that's just all good people think like this. You know, and when I went to college in the 80s, in the mid-80s, just to show, I studied international relations. There was nothing about America or American interests at all. It was other than historically. It was purely pure NWO ideology and, you know, global North-South and how we owe that, you know, and basically arguments for transferring wealth from the North to the South and interdependence and interconnectedness and all this multipolarity and all this other damn garbage. More communist than neocon, actually. But the point is that the people who perceive themselves to be the elites, or actually are the elites, who are training these people to go out and enforce for them, they're already long gone into that one world ideology. They don't believe America is a country at all. It's just sort of one of their areas happens to have a little more firepower than other places. And
I mean, it's an economic zone. It's a shopping mall.
Yeah. But I mean, there's still a politics behind it that, you know, race doesn't matter except whites. Whites only exist to be a repository for evil and take their goods and make fun of them and demonize them until they ultimately go away. But yeah, what are the only legitimate things we can do? Watch porn, the big game, eat wild wings, and every possible inducement to get fat through junk carbs, to get into slavery through debt. It's all there. It's all being pushed by the system on you very, very hard. And you have to swim like a salmon upstream to fight these things and get to, you know, something good. And that's really
him $10, but he still turned it down.
I can't believe you would pass up $10 like that.
Yeah, if I have to make a new account at some point, I'll offer him 20 and see if that sways him.
Every man has a price, Jones. Oh, Christ.
Speaking of which, Alex, I want to talk to you about something because I've heard a lot of your audiobooks. And I was just finishing, actually, The Jewish Strategy in America's Decline, specifically. Now I'm on Fame of a Dead Man's Deeds. But
okay.
I noticed you said many times that, you know, you believe Jesus is, like, you know, kind of like the science fiction character. I kind of wanted to pick your brain apart a little bit. Do you think Jesus, like a historical Jesus, existed? Or do you think the whole thing was made up from the, you know, beginning to end? He probably, not even historical, like, guy was killed and Pontius Pilate didn't. Like, do you believe that an actual dude was killed?
That is a great question. I, in my opinion, it's an unsettled question. There's no 100% answer to it. And I've seen Carrier and the rest of them argue. I think that there's some new verb I found in the last year or two. Emily on the forum was using it. What, a hemorrhage or something? Where something basically accretes from a myth into a reality. There's actually a verb for that. I'm a little embarrassed. I can't recall it, but it starts with an E. And I don't know that that's what happened, but what I do know, and I've read this from Christians, is there's something like only about 8 references that are still not 100%. To this person who supposedly came back from the dead and cured these people and did all these miracles. So also the fact that it comes from Jews, I tend to believe it's not true. I think he probably, if I had to guess, I would guess that he did not exist, but that's not 100%. But I certainly don't believe he performed the miracles. I mean, there had to be someone writing something more of note. You know, these scriptures were written, at the least they were written decades after the fact, to a couple hundred years, as best I understand it. And I mean, I just don't believe. I mean, and it's funny, you notice how I made that point, and I haven't noticed I'm using it. Every single time somehow stops at the Bible. And why? Were they telling the truth and then they quit telling the truth? I mean, it's fucking Jews. It's Jews all the way down. I don't believe any of it.
Well, I was talking to an Orthodox dude not too long ago, and I'm not sure if you have a differing opinion on the Orthodox than the Catholics, but he was kind of, you know, I was pressing him, like, do you actually believe, like, the Old Testament occurred, you know, how it says so? And his answer was basically, a lot of it is very much up to interpretation, and it's not meant to be taken literally. What do you think about people that kind of use that cop-out with the Old Testament?
Well, see, in my view, the one thing that is true and genuine is the spirit of the Jews represented. I don't believe for a minute any of that freaking garbage about being slaves in Egypt. They lie. That's just exactly like
Russia. There's no evidence to support it. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, everything they say that people did against them, I mean, the Russians or Polish would say, well, they never tell you what they did first. you know, which is the truth. But generally, you know, people hardly fought back against them at all. And boy, that's what I would like to change. I know we would like to change that, but they don't ever see. It starts with maybe with the Holocaust. Maybe it starts with something simple, and then you turn to the Holocaust and start thinking about it, and then you realize it's a hoax, and then. Hey, Tone, how are you going to guess the people with the wooden doors? You know, I mean, that's kind of great mockery. But, you know, I told that dude who used to play Bradley Smith. Do you remember him? He's almost before your time, but he's the guy who used to play.
I can't see, I do.
Yeah, see, you're like, you're young 20. So he's a guy who used to place these ads in college newspapers, essentially for CODO, casting doubt on the Holocaust. He tried to place one in my student paper, then my Jewish feminist editor rejected it in Pomona Student Life back in like 1988. And I thought, oh, this guy's just trying to be an asshole. But it put a seed in my mind. And again, 88, and is the internet around? No, it is, but it's very, very limited. It doesn't become public, but when it does, then all of a sudden you can read, I'm like, oh, so that guy was right. He was going on about something that's actually real. I've been fooled. It never occurred to me you could lie about like 6 million people being fooled, because I'm a gullible Germanic Goyim type, you know? But I had been. I'd been fooled. So then your next thought rationally would be, well, let's go back and look at all these other instances in Jewish history, to the extent you care. But you go back and look at the Russian pogrom. Well, they were doing all the obnoxious things that led up to the Soviet Revolution. So then, you know, go back and look at the Bible. Well, all it's real in there is a spirit of, you know, renting out your sister and tricking people and stealing land, even tricking your own brother to steal, you know, working with your mother to trick your father to steal land from your brother. You know, and these Christians named their kids Jacob then, and Jacob was the one who was tricking Esau, if I recall correctly. And it just, the nasty spirit, and the one thing, if Goyim had any taste for production values or any, they just instinctively don't, except for a minority of them. They don't instinctively see like how they're being manipulated, or not even manipulated, but how effects are produced. They just don't think like that inherently. But if they did, and they read Genesis and they saw the spirit that, this is nasty stuff. I don't want to read. And this is religion, this garbage about we're tricking people. We're deceiving these people. We're renting out our sisters as whores to these people. We're slaughtering these people. And just on and on and on. And it's just nasty stuff. And, you know, in my opinion, that does represent the real Jewish mentality. Now, as history, no, hell no. Vast majority of that never happened. But, you know, and then I don't believe any of that stuff is really historical. I mean, they've tried to verify a lot of that, and I don't think they've ever verified that they were slaves in Egypt. So there may be individual elements that are true, but historically, but on the whole, it's a representation of their spirit, and the rest of it is basically bunk. And then when you look at it, okay, so they put out this guy Saul, basically, and he spreads this all around, is telling the Goyim, abandon your ancestors, abandon your old gods, and come to this new universal god. You know, meanwhile, his brothers are maintaining a tribal racial cult. And yeah, they didn't have the Talmud. The Talmud was codified another 400 or 500 years later, but they were always acting like that as a racial group. And their behavior predates Jesus. And that's what we were talking about. They're not just rejectors of Jesus. That doesn't define them.
They were like that long before Jesus ever supposedly.
Yeah, I mean, what irritates me about Jones and what I would talk, well, why don't you ever address obvious logical objections to your position? These are things you must defeat to be right. And this is exactly what happens. It's exactly like that cartoon. You know, there's three pizza places. One is like best pizza in the city. The other one is best pizza in the universe. And then the one where all the people are lined up outside is best pizza on this block, right? And that's how I feel about Jones's best logic in the universe. It's like, dude, you're not even the best logic on this block because you don't address obvious objections. Really, the Jews just suddenly became Jews. And before, I guess, I always thought he meant that. Well, I guess I thought he meant that genetically or racially or something, but he means that. He just means that semantically. They weren't called Jews before then. But he's also saying that, okay, so there's this, whatever, this group of people, and then Jesus comes. Well, wasn't Jesus a Jew? I mean, yes, according to the Bible. And then some of them accept Jesus. The ones who reject Jesus are then called Jews from that point.
And then yeah.
I mean, it's just so confusing to me.
Well, Jones, I don't know why I called you Jones. I was thinking of you, Michael Jones. But Alex, what do you think about the myth of Jesus, or, you know, Jesus of the Bible? I mean, what do you think about his supposed teachings? Like, for example, like the 8 Beatitudes.
Yeah.
Like, what do you think this is good advice to give people? Like, you know, I have some of them right here. Like, you know, blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth.
Oh, yeah. Sure, yeah, they're selling you lottery tickets after you're dead. I'll gladly pay you Tuesday for something today, and the something today is real power over you and seed power in this world. We're in this world, but not of it. You know, I mean, you'd have to live on the East Coast and see the Irish Catholics with their little dash on their third eye position where the Indians put it, you know, on Ash Wednesday. And I never had any opinion about Catholics until I moved to the East Coast and lived among them. And actually, professional conservatism, as I encountered it, largely was Irish Catholic, or certainly Catholic, and most of the Catholics were Irish. Now, the agenda they follow is unracial but pro-Jew, so no race for whites, but race for Jews and Jewish agenda. That's what I saw. So none of those people are going to oppose the Jews and the racial stuff.
Yeah, I mean, I was on the Daily Brap, and these guys were arguing me. These
I listened to that. That was a remarkable show. And
what did you think about them saying that? You know, oh, we have our guys in the White House. Like, you know, how would you respond to that?
Oh yeah, I mean, they got their guys everywhere. There's billions of Irish Catholics, and they're, you know, like the ones I knew. One guy went on to be. Well, shit, when I was working, the place I was working there was Greg Gutfeld, who actually went to a private school in San Francisco with Barry Bonds. He was like the year ahead of me. He's now a guy on Fox, Gutfeld.
Wait, I thought he claims was a Jew.
I thought he was a Jew so much I never even questioned it. He actually claims to be like a Catholic.
No shit.
He's a classic 36 short Jew build, super muscular. He's super into working out. And a funny guy, legitimately funny guy. But, and the other ones I knew were my co-intern there, Eric Euland, also from, see, these guys were all from California. I was like the one of two Protestants in the office, at least by background, not by belief. And I really believe that was why they actually hired me. The woman hired me, and then she left, and then I was basically about the only Protestant there. They were all Catholics. See, and then the ones in house, and then the staff writers are about half Jew. But the other kid they hired named Eric Euland, he had the same name as that girl who's one of the two who got her head chopped off. It's a Norwegian. So he was a Norwegian Catholic. He had the same exact face as that girl. He went on to be like, I don't know, chief of staff for one of the big shot Republicans in, I think, the House. He's probably doing something like that today. I don't know. I haven't seen his name in many years, but. Very distinctive name, Euland. And very smart guy, very smart guy. Very determined, Catholic. And our sort of leader in there was some guy who went on to be like editor at Reader's Digest. So these are the conservative connections in D.C. And there was a limited amount at that time. It was kind of before the internet. And there was, you know, Vigory's Institute, Leadership Institute. He was kind of the guy who came up with direct mail. I think he'd worked for Pat Robertson at one point. Maybe I'm getting a little confused there. But that was the kind of the new right coming out of the 70s and direct mail and Stan Evans, Leadership Western Journalism Center. I went through there. A lot of the ones you see on TV, I think Tucker went through there. I think Coulter went through there. I think Laura Ingraham went through there. A lot of other people who you would not have heard of. And so the conservative sort of network in DC is fairly small, probably small even today. And Yeah, they won't touch anything racial. They won't, you know, it's just, I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, would you speculate a lot of these people were like aware of Jewish power, but just absolutely knew this was something you don't criticize? Or do you think they were just completely ignorant of the whole thing?
I've never really talked about my boss because I knew him personally and I lived at his house and, you know, his McMansion and ran errands, and he has just beautiful kids, really beautiful kids. And I wouldn't talk about him, but I don't know. They're these people.
Sure.
These people are basically, to my way of thinking, they're small. A lot of them are even physically small. And I mean, he wrote, you know, he wrote the liberal crack up, and liberals have a running argument with life is lived by normal Americans. It's like, yeah, that's true. And I did learn a lot of words from him, but it's a lot. What's the way to put it? How are you going to keep him down on the farm once they've seen Puri? Once you understand the Jew stuff, I mean, there is no other explanation. That's it.
Yeah.
And I mean, it's absolutely undeniable. And so why they choose to stick at that level, I don't really understand it. I mean, you know, he was, these organs back before the internet, they all ran in the red. You understand? They all lose money.
Oh yeah. Like they need donation money.
Exactly. And what it is what it is they have maybe, I don't know, I forget, a 60, 40 or 40, 60 writers and ads, but they have to run around all the foundations. And what the Jews have done is they've set up shop as kind of gatekeepers. Back in the day, it was Olin, Scaife, Bradley were some of the major foundations that probably still exist and are that funded, you know, they might give like the American Spectator a couple hundred thousand a year, stuff like that. And that's how they're able to keep their costs. God knows you don't make money running opinion journals in America. Even the Jews, like the Weekly Standard, you got to have someone rich subsidize it, or, you know, like Taki Mag, you got to have someone rich subsidize it because the advertisers won't advertise in anything right wing. Even the neocon stuff can't really get advertisers. And so, you know, what are you going to do if you offend the Jews? You're out of business. And
oh yeah, I mean, I was at the library a few days ago, and I saw a new copy of National Review, and I was reading it. It was like almost a lot of it was just Jews, like Jonah Goldberg. What's that dude? Yeah, like Jonah Goldberg, I believe. The guy who wrote Liberal Fascism, I think, was the same dude. Yes,
exactly.
That he was just criticizing Tucker Carlson on capitalism.
Yeah, I mean,
like the whole time.
The thing is, you got to understand, like where I come from, my generation was sitting in Skyline High School in Salt Lake and reading National Review in, say, 1983, 84. As I graduated high school in 84, and that's a high school in Salt Lake City. Imagine there's no internet, and so that's where I have to find someone who's actually smart and cares about the same stuff I do. Imagine how horrifying that would be with no internet.
Yeah, I mean, like every other article in this issue I was reading was like Democrats are anti-Semitic.
Let me yeah, exactly. But you gotta understand, National Review used to be a damn good magazine, even though it was always Semitically correct. It was still damn good. They had very, very erudite, smart, funny, witty people. I learned a hell of a lot of vocabulary from them. So now what it is, I haven't looked at it in years and years. I mean, I wouldn't even
it's a joke
find it, but I mean, now it's just shit. Everything good is on the internet. But back then, only, I mean, there was the one I worked at was like number two, and National Review was number one, and that was pretty much it. Everything else, there wasn't really more than that, just like a weekly paper and a couple other minor things that weren't so intellectual. But that was basically it back then before the internet. It's hard to believe. It was so incredibly different from now. Like now you can go on there and find all kinds of good stuff on the internet. But back then, that's what you had was National Review coming out every 2 weeks. You know, unless you had a relative who was really, how many people have relatives who are really intellectual and know all this stuff? Very few.
Yeah.
And not me. You know, so that's how it was. for people growing up in the 80s, before the internet and before we had, you know, we didn't have these phones and all that. I mean, maybe they were getting into the really super chunky mobile phones, but even, you know, even computers were pretty much new in the 80s. They were just getting into PCs and then the Apple and then the, and then, but there were still typewriters widely used. I used a typewriter in college, except finally I had to do a term paper. I used the schools. I didn't have my own computer, so I used the schools, print out a line of paper, but that's how it was back up to pretty much end of the 80s. So it's a very different world now. So now we have the ability to talk peer to peer. And now the Jews are trying to shut that down. After having watched 15 years of it, they can kind of see, like, if we let this thing keep growing, the writing's on the wall for us. Well, I mean,
yeah.
No, I've always never really liked that saying, knowledge is power. Knowledge is maybe the first, it's like exposing the Jew. Yeah, okay, that's
it's half the battle.
Sure, yeah, but it's not the whole thing.
No.
Henry Ford and even Glenn Miller, to some extent, thought exposing them was enough, but it's not enough. They're you got to actually, you know, organize and take power away from them is what we have to do. But yeah, knowing about them and what they're actually are and are actually up to is very much the first step. And there's a lot of that around today.
Yeah, I mean, I noticed within my short life, there came a point around the Trump election, I remember distinctly, where all of these news companies that had, like, where people would read online news, there used to be, like, comment sections to all of these news articles. And it was always filled a lot of times with, you know, racialists or people that were always very near there. And, you know, I saw within the Trump election that National Review had to take, like, their comment section down because it was filled with literally white nationalists just flooding the comment sections. I mean, was it always like that when you first saw the internet coming to be?
Yes, that, like, I invented that. I came up with three media laws, and that was one of them. And other people have subsequently said this, but I said it first, as with many things. And I'm not bragging. That's simply the fact. I said the comment section is always to the right and the white side of the people, of the professional writers and editors. I mean, that's virtually across the board. And that is why, and it really is just the last maybe 3 years, that they have just started giving up and just shutting down the comments.
Yeah.
Because the people under there are always, you always got to go to them, not only for the right and white, but the actual facts of the story. Go to a mainstream paper, like on anything on Yahoo, and just see, like they'll do a typical mall aping of teens in Louisville. And then you
read
this stuff underneath to get the actual story of what went on. And it's like that everywhere. Like I said, you got to fight the reporter to get the story. I mean, what kind of a business? I've seen, like, Kate Nibbs at The Ringer is one. I think it was her. If it wasn't her, it was another one. They used to have Bill Simmons's kind of sports and culture, which typically means movie and TV. They used to have comments. And one of them was like, I never read this. Well, what kind of industry do you not even give a shit what the people that you're serving actually want? Media is almost unique in that. They're all writing for each other. They're part of a fucking cult. I saw this when I was in college and I worked in a newsroom and they did not like me. And, you know, not for any really objective reason. I was a nice enough person, but they're just, leftism is a fucking cult. And it can't really tolerate any kind of disagreement or it falls apart. And then again, it's compound of the WASP Anglo, beautiful dream, beautiful mind. And they can't, I've always called them bubble boy or hothouse flower. I always use those metaphor because any little prick and they explode. Any little fact pollutes them and makes their thing, their beautiful little atmosphere just die. So they're walking around very scared that some kind of reality is going to prick them. And then you've got the Jew racist who absolutely know what they're doing, and it's just hardcore dual code. And those two together to basically define what journalism is. And then, on the right side, throwing the Irish Catholics, or I should just say Catholics, and they're just basically useless, you know, because And after all, you say, well, do they understand Jews? Well, I guess even if they understood Jews, if they're Catholic, and most of them at least feign that way, Catholicism doesn't value race. So that probably makes it easier to go along with the Jews, I suppose, as well as their professional interests. Maybe that makes them think it's also moral play along and with a Jewish racial agenda. Even if they're not anti-white, to not make a point of like, oh yeah, the country's controlled by Jews, but American politics is just a bunch of Jews babbling with other Jews. You know, that's the truth of it.
Yeah.
And, you know, they don't ever say that. So, and you look at Jones, and Jones has a lot of good history on how the Catholic Church was bought out of its moral positions over the course of the 20th century. I'm sure you've read that, but you know, they bribed Hesburgh, take over Notre Dame and have a conference on prophylactics at, like, I don't know, something lakes, somewhere they held that. But anyway, they just used money, just like they say in the protocol. Their main tool is bribery. They just pay these people, buy them off, and that works. The vast majority of goyim. It's all they got to do. And then from the prophylactics, because remember, all that stuff used to be borderline illegal. Pornography, and Garland wrote a good book. Benjamin Garland wrote a good book.
Merchants of Sin, right?
Merchants of Sin, yes. Expanding on, or not expanding, but covering a lot of the same ground as some of what McDonald did, but going into it even further. And all the court rulings, it's always some Jew doing this to promote pornography or to promote extra stuff on film, and how they broke away from the production code. Jones talks about
yeah.
that.
And I mean, Hugh Hefner was taking like pictures of Brooke Shields as a 13-year-old and putting it on Playboy.
Yeah. Well, they did, and then so birth control, and then see, they have to fully complete the sexual revolution within the church in order to completely wipe it out so far as potential opposition to Jews from the sexual front. And so they, what have they done so far? Well, you want to get altar girls in there. You want to get women preaching. You want to have them support divorced people being able to, okay, their big thing is taking communion, right? You're part of this mystical body. You get to receive communion. And if you break their moral laws, then I guess you're not supposed to be able to do that. But you have to find priests who will stick up for the laws and the doctrine as it's traditionally been. So if you, what they did, according to, I forget which one of the Catholics I heard it from, but what they did, Bella Dodd admitted this, like a non, I guess she was a non-Jew, maybe Dodd was her married name, but a non-Jew admitted this in a committee hearing. They would find like young boys who are kind of questioning themselves and maybe didn't have a father and who are tending towards homosexuality and get them into the priesthood.
Yep. Yep.
They did that over decades. And now they, just the way they took over the American Academy, they took over the seminaries. So now they turn out a bunch of faggots, and it's all a bunch of faggots having fag parties in the seminaries. And so now they're going to liberalize all the patriarchal doctrines of the church. So the one thing the church has going for it, you know, strong male leadership and strong families and large families, be fruitful and multiply, get rid of that, and then the church will just be democratic, i.e. Jew-controlled like every other institution.
Yeah, and that's not even counting like Jews that convert to Catholicism and subvert it from inside as well, which I'm sure there's plenty.
Well, it would be interesting because Jones will always take the 1 in 10 million Jews and claim, oh, look at this wonderful Jew converted. And this is direct from the Jesuits. If 1 out of 1,000 can change, that proves the other 999 could too. The other 999 proves nothing. You know, you're like, well, Jesus Christ, Jones, isn't that a straw man? No one's saying race is some absolute thing, but he'll always, oh, it's determinist, racial determinist, racial essentialism, just like any other leftist. It's like, well, how about it's a hell of a lot more important, race, than you grant it credit for? Because if we know a man is white, if we, I rethought this. Okay, if we know someone's black and we know they're a Catholic, which tells us more? Come on, buddy. You can't deny that his being black tells us a hell of a lot more, and that humiliates them because they want to believe that their beliefs are so all-fired important. And yet the fact knowing the race tells you more about someone. Telling someone's a white and telling me they're a Catholic, which gives us a better guide to their likely behavior. I'd say they're being white, you know?
Oh, yeah. And Jones is so dishonest with the whole, like, who's white thing. I mean, I remember he calls himself biracial because he's half German, half Irish. And that Jews are white and this sort of shit. It's just, yeah, it's insane.
He's doing that. Yeah, I suspect that's his attempt at a joke. And I haven't heard him say that. But, the thing is, come on, Jones. The feds, again, this is where you say, well, the feds know who's white. Our thing is always looks white, acts white, isn't Jew, and that's all we need until we have our independent state, and then we can define it more closely if we even want to. Because race is not an absolute, but it is something that is highly significant. And we want to live around whites. We prefer the way they are. And I mean, it's provable with his own people. It's provable with him. Do you want to marry a white or like you said, do you want your daughter to marry a black African? Do you really? Like one of these wonder, get Jones to say that on the record. Oh yeah, I want my daughter to marry one of those super based, Nigerian Catholic conservatives that's anti-homo. Is that what you want? Do you really want that?
He absolutely would not. And
I don't think so. And I say, if you move from, he lives in South Bend. If you move from South Bend somewhere else to L.A., are you going to want to live in white, conservative, Protestant, Orange County, whatever's left of it nowadays, which I don't know. But or do you want to live in, around the Mexicans in some poor area? Hell no. You want to live around white Protestants or even white atheists up in the Northwest. You damn well know it. You just won't admit it.
Well, these Catholics, they try this thing where they even try making the argument that these Central Americans and Mexican Indians who come over, that they're not really Catholic, and thus that's why they don't want to live next to them. It's such bullshit.
Wow, now that's an advanced form of bullshit I have yet to even encounter. So you're finding new things. That's hilarious.
That's what you find on Twitter. It's insane.
They're not real Catholic. Yeah, ask him. How about those? Okay, how many people are being murdered, being slaughtered in Mexico every day? It's like 93. Last I saw a few months ago. Well, all those motherfuckers who were killing those other motherfuckers, every single one of those motherfuckers is a Catholic. Every last fucking one of them. Yeah, I know the evangelicals have made inroads, but that's still the truth. The argument they use, because I actually got to know I got to know a colored friend of Jones's who played a little gotcha journalism with me, which I really didn't appreciate, plucking a remark out of this is something they'll use. They'll claim, well, it takes us 1,000 years to teach people to be civilized. So like he always uses German ancestors were chasing pigs around a forest until the Christians showed up. And so
bullshit.
His buddy asked me, well, why didn't the Germans have any civilization? I just said, I don't know. We were just talking. I was like, I don't know what the circumstances were back then is basically what I meant. So he quotes me saying, I don't know. And they're out of a private fucking conversation. I'm like, if I thought I would have said, well, prove the whites and the Romans and the Greeks were, still more or less the same race that, came over from, where is it, Asia Minor or whatever, Black Sea area. I mean, it's still the same kind of race if you wanted me to give like a formal answer or whatever. But so he's not above using the little gotcha type stuff like that. So
I'm going to be recording an audiobook, I believe, of Tacitus's account in Germania, because from what I've read, limited amounts of I believe he was highly
he
respected the Germans quite a bit, and they were very moral people to him.
Yeah, you got it. You got how truthful was he? I don't know. How do we know it? It's just exactly like the Bible. How do we know what everything is at this distance? Like Josephus, right? The Kike's alleged historian, said a lot of stuff that. How do you know that it's true? It's probably not true. Were the Jews slaves in Egypt? No, I don't think they were. I don't think there's evidence they were. I think they found there wasn't evidence. But yeah, that's a good thing. Tacitus on Germania, right?
I don't know if that's the exact name, but along those lines, if you Google it, you'll find
it. It's usually coupled with some other one when it comes out in print. I can't remember what the other one was, but
I think it's just called Germania.
No, I know, but I'm saying when they print it as a book, they usually combine it with another thing that he wrote, which I'm trying to think of, because it's not super, super long. But yeah, so that would go to the point that, look, these people were, You know, you want to say they're not civilized because they weren't, you know, writing books and all this. Well, what kind of people were they? You know, you're civilized. Your civilization looks awful like, to me, like what we did to wolves and wildcats. Turn them into house pets. Is that really an advance? I mean, Christ, don't call me Nietzsche here, but is that really an advance? I mean, son of a bitch. You don't have to look around to start kind of wondering, like, I'm not sure that us being domesticated is what I was trying to say, is more akin to what we've become than civilized. At least you could argue that. I mean, and who's to say they didn't enjoy running around the forest? So so they will use that argument, like, yeah, he has used this overtly in relation to, I think, Kenya, like, it takes us 1,000 years and we've only had like, then they've only had like 500 in Mexico and they've only had a few hundred in Africa. And his big example of that, his theory works, is Paraguay. I kid you not. Like,
really?
Like 16 and 1700s. There was a bunch of Catholics down there. They took a bunch of these clown Browns and they basically ran them as slaves, and they more or less simulated being civilized for like 100-150 years.
Well, the way Paraguay worked was like, it was like half white, half Indian for the longest time, until a dictator at some point literally came along and made it illegal to marry someone of the same race. Now pretty much everyone's like a mestizo there.
Well, I don't know when that was, if that was late 1800s, but he's specifically talking about like in the 1600s into 1700s, and that's his great example of proof of Catholic civilization. And then someone came in, or they had some deal back in Europe that messed it all up. But to me, that's kind of like, well, Christ, by the same token, you could claim that blacks are civilized by slavery in the South. I mean, if you're going to freaking give them all the rules and shoot them if they disobey, then yeah, I can imagine they can, blacks in a chain gang or any kind of a cotton picking plantation can simulate being civilized to some extent.
Well, and I'm sure the average black being like a quarter white helps in looking civilized compared to the rest of Africa as well.
There's no doubt about that. I mean, you know, it's just crazy. I don't know. To me, it's Jones is pushing an ideology, and I don't like ideological thinking, I guess, because I came from an intellectual conservative background. Edmund Burke was, cited as kind of the founding conservative, and Kirk said, you know, and you've probably read all this. I mean, it's a disposition. It's not an ideology. It's basically like, let's try to understand things before we leap to some girlish conclusion. All right. Maybe things are the way they are for a reason. Let's try to figure it out. And by just calm down here, be careful and study it, and, you know, let it show us the reasons why, not assume it can be easily changed. In the matter of, you know, that AOC brought up in New York, you know, some idiot, oh, we're going to rebuild all the buildings in 7 years and they're all going to be green. And I mean, that's the kind of puerile stupidity you should outgrow by the time you're in fourth grade. But if you're brown, you don't really ever outgrow it, you know, and the hell.
Well,
a lot
it's because
of
she rejected Catholicism. That's why.
Well,
that's why she's dumb. You see,
I mean, I, you know, this is where I wish I, you know, I'd love to have, and I've actually asked a couple of people about this, and they're like, no, dude has his own personal idea about logos. Actually, I think Ben Klassen had a much cooler or cleverer take on logos, because it could just mean word. In the beginning was the word. So Jones, oh, the whole big thing is humans can communicate, which, you know, I don't know, most animal species communicate somehow. Ants seem to do a pretty goddamn good job, and they don't even use – they just use chemicals, you know?
Yeah, Coco the gorilla has had a higher IQ than most blacks on the planet.
Yeah. Reminds me of someone. I was watching that video of us. The world is a vampire. Despite all my rage, I still didn't kill that kid in my cage. Attributed to Harambe. I don't know why that made me laugh so hard. You remember that gorilla? And that that kid got into his enclosure.
Yeah, that was sad.
That, but What was I saying about Jones? Oh, I know. So the Logos. Now, at least one person has told me that he is not what the Greeks meant, is not what he means by it. I don't really know enough to start, you know, that's the kind of thing. If you get into that and you don't know what you're talking about, you can easily come off an idiot. So
we're not Ravello Oliver.
Right? I'm definitely researching that a little more to see, but I mean, Klassen had the cleverest take on that, which is that the word, and he didn't go divine order. You know, Klassen, right? Creativity and White Man's Bible and Salubrious Living and all that. Inventor of the electric can opener, right? Had a patent on it, a rich guy. He ended up committing suicide, but he wrote all those books. But his take was that in the beginning was the word, right? The way Genesis starts. His point is that the word is worshipped by Jews because it's the means of deception that has essentially given them the world. By deceiving it with words, they're able to do what they couldn't do simply by deeds and achievements, like an honest Aryan. They tricked everybody using words, and that's perfect. It's not only, it's basically, now that's, I don't think really what the Bible meant. I think he was being clever, but it is clever, you know? I find that more compelling than Jones's. Jones's divine order with laws and then what irritates me is too, he'll say like, well, I can't tell the future. I don't have a crystal ball. Oh yeah, but they'll also turn around and say, just the way Vox data, but we know how everything works out in the end. God does everything so that good wins in the end. And you know this how?
Oh, well, it's like the original QAnon shit, like trust the plan, trust God's plan.
That's a damn good point. Damn good point. And these dummies like Vox couldn't figure out if QAnon was real or not. He has some very odd kind of holes where he can't see through something that's pretty obvious. But yeah, I don't know the future, but God talks to me all the time. Well, why don't you ask God, you know? And we know it's all going to work. Just these constant things that are in opposition where it's got to be one or the other. And I think that, I don't know. I know the way I would approach talking to him and dealing with these things in a blunter way. And you really got to force him to articulate his position. Make him say it out loud and then see how he sounds, because I have to love the Jews. I think that's more or less what he said, because Jesus said he had to.
Yeah.
I'd say, Jones, buddy, I saw you there. You were saying like you love the Jews. I got to say, you look a little bit, you're kind of old, but you look like a little kid forced to eat spinach. Got to say it. Really did. A little bit. You just keep fucking with him. I'm not sure how much he can take of that.
Yeah, love thy racial enemies. I don't think it works well.
Yeah, I mean, what doesn't that make sense? Isn't it in line with everything else Jews do, that they would preach these doctrines of meekness and submission and lack of pride in order
in the Roman Empire, no less.
Yeah, to get one over on these high, proud Romans. And what was the Catholic strategy back then? Basically to breed like cockroaches, and in the end we'll win. And that really today is still their thing. They're admitting they can't even keep their own church. It's the fags are going to rule it the next several decades at the least. You know, but in the end they'll scrape off all this bad stuff and the true holy church will still be there. That's their attitude.
Yeah. And you know what, Alex? I think this is probably a good place to conclude. I definitely want to do this again in the future. We can do this, but let's keep these kind of like within like an hour and a half for these for the audience.
That's a good idea. That's a good idea.
But love to discuss this whenever you're free. Just let me know, all right?